Well, I'm going to show you some things while I'm here. As you study Hebrew, you need to be familiar. Do you know what that says there?
No.
Hasidor, the cedar. The prayer book and the daily, it's written backwards, like everything in Hebrew. But it tells how they say the prayers and all the little things in the Jewish ceremonies and festivals. All right? Hasidor. And then here is another one like that, the Jewish family celebrations. It doesn't hurt to learn some of this. This one here is in English, basically. A lot of Jewish people, they only know the Hebrew language. They can say it and quote it. They don't really know what it means at all. We're teaching biblical Hebrew here, which we learn what the words mean. But anyway, this shows it in Hebrew and what they say and how to say it in here. All right? And then here is the Jewish Puppet Fishing Society on Bible. It's backwards. It starts at the right-hand side and goes left. And I've shown this to the students a lot of times. It has Hebrew and then their English, not translation, but interpretation. It's not a translation, it's an interpretation of what the Hebrew says. All right? And then, how many of you heard me talk about Shekinah and all the different Jewish fables and all of that? If you're going to study anything like that, you study it from the cultures of the Jews. All right, this is a great big book. It's, about 1,200 pages.
That's from what you talked about, Lilith.
What? Lilith?
Yeah.
All of these, how many of you ever heard of Lilith? That was Adam's first wife, according to some mythology, okay? Anyway, this tells all about, and I even have Lilith up there, see? Or behind it. If you buy a book like this, you can understand. If you hear some kind of weird thing, one of my students asked me about Lilith one time, and I really didn't know too much about Lilith. I'd heard it a little bit, but so I went, and where I found out was here. Of course, now you have computers. You can go put anything in a computer and find it. But this here is from their own sources, okay? So this is good, the cultures of the Jews. Anyway, that's very interesting. With these things you can find, if you, when you study different things and you hear things and people ask you questions, I've been teaching for 40 years, so I've had a lot of questions asked of me in 40 years. Sometimes, before you can even answer the question, you've got to have some source. So all I'm doing here is just showing you sources. All right? Now, one of my students sent this to me from Alabama. And this is an apostolic Bible. This is the whole Bible from the Greek Septuagint in the Old Testament and the Greek New Testament. It's all in under one cover, so that's really good, the apostolic Bible. Well, it's got references into it. It's cross-references, Strong's and everything. I really didn't need cross-references and stuff like that. But it's nice to have one book where you can get all of that stuff, and it's an interlinear also. So this is good. I think the book is about $50. But it's the Old and the New Testament. Seems like over the last 30 years or whatever it's been that I've been teaching, I've taken a lot of classes. And this little guy right up there on the back, Troy Fleming, a year or so ago, I was teaching church history, and I told the class that I didn't have. I quoted something that John Calvin says, but I said I really don't know whether he really said it or not because I don't have Calvin's commentaries. Wasn't very long after that I got two or three boxes of books come to my door, 20-something books.
And I moved them into the house. I didn't know what they were. I knew that they had put them there by mistake. But I did open one of them up, and I opened it up, and I looked at it, and I said, man, this is Calvin commentary. This is the whole shooting match. And I had left them there for a while. They were sitting in the living room for how long? A month or something. I mean, they were sitting there for a long time. And finally, I talked to Troy on the phone. I said, boy, he said, you got any new books lately or anything like that? And I said, well, I got a whole bunch of them in my living room. I said, I might have to send them back. He said, don't send them back. He said, those are yours. So anyway, and then every now and then I'll get something from here or there or whatever. I quoted one time that Ben Bogard was the defender of the Ku Klux Klan. It wasn't very much longer after that I had a book called The KKK, An Examination of the American Mind, and there he was, quoted in there with him defending the Ku Klux Klan. And he was one of my teachers. Anyway, so he sends things like that to me every now and then. That's really neat. I used the illustration here a while back. How many of you know that you've got guardian angels? We talked about guardian angels. Remember that when we were talking about angels? I told you that I had kept mine absolutely wore out. I mean wore them out, and I mean wore them out. I mean I've damaged angels, I'm sure. And I got thinking today as I was getting ready for the class tonight. Remember I told you that a gun blew up in my hand one time? And I said there was no way in the world any human being could walk away from that. That's totally unnatural. Well, I brought it. Not done one useful thing for God that I could even think of when that happened. I haven't done anything. Nothing. Not a thing. And I got to thinking. I said, you know, God must have looked ahead real good. Because I wasn't worth saving. I was saved at the time. But I had never done anything useful to the Lord at all. Nothing at that time. And then I got the thing and I said, well, Lord, I hope I'm worth that angel you sent to protect me. I hope I've done something worthy of what that angel went through to protect me at that time. What a deal. Well, there's the evidence. Now, I told people, I said, now you take a grenade and you pull the pin on it And they have people throw them over these real heavy concrete walls, so they won't come back at them. That was in my hand. That was in my hand when that gun blew up. There. Well, God is able to protect you. Probably around 20 years old or 21, something like that. God was trying to get my attention.
Did it work?
Yes, it did. It took a little more prompting than that. But God was trying to get my attention. All right? And He finally did. And here, this is what I'm doing here tonight. He got my attention. He finally got my attention. Has He got your attention now? Do you think the Lord can do something with you? Do you think He can protect you? All right, because that's for real. Now, that's just one time. That's only one little incident. Okay? One little incident. All right, 8 and verse 11. Is that where we are? We're reading the Hebrew like we did in Greek. Remember when we took Greek from me, we'd read the Greek and then we'd translate it. We're talking about the table of the nations, and that's the handout you had. When we get to the 10th chapter, we're really going to go into that. I wrote up here Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem is a spiritual. Now, all of your politics, all of your philosophies, and all of your theologies in the world are based upon these three boys today. Your whole lives have been ordered just by these three philosophies. All right? 8 and verse 11. Vatava. Can you say that? Vatava. Elav. Hai Yovna. All right. Liet. Erev. Vihene. Aliv. Zayet. Zaroth. Be Fiha, Vayida, Noah, Ki, Kalu, Hamayim. What's Hamayim? Heavens, or the waters, that is. Hamayim, the waters. All right, Mial, Haaretz. All right, what's Haaretz? You remember what Haaretz is? Do you remember? The earth. All right. Batava, and came in. And she came in. It's third person, feminine, singular, cow, while consecutive, and perfect. This dove kept flying in and circling around. That's what you get from the Hebrew verb right there. She's coming around and she's flying and kept coming in looking for the door on the ark, or the window, okay? Elav unto him, Hai Yovna, the dove. All right? The dove, Hai Yovna. What name in the Bible comes from the word dove? Jonah. All right, Jonah comes from the word dove. Yonah. All right, Hayona. The dove, Liet, at time, Erev, evening. All right? At evening, sunset. Vihine, and behold, Alei, Zayet. What it means is a leaf on an olive tree. Taroth, freshly pulled. Bethenaha, in her mouth. Zayida and nu Noah. Noah, see there? Noah, say Noah. Actually, the way you say Noah is Noah. It's like you're going to spit. Noah. All right, right from your throat. Hebrew comes from the throat, okay? And then T. And that comes from deep in your throat. Ki, Kalu. That had, or because had decreased, Hamayim, the waters. Mial, remember what M in front of something means? That Mem, that means from all Haaretz, from all the earth. All right, from all the earth. All right, 8 and verse 12 now. Vayiyah. Chil, Ord, Shavuot, Yamim, Acharim, Vashalach, Et, Hayovna, Velo. Well, you're listening. Good. And then Yasetha, Shuv, Elav, Od. All right. And he waited. Third person masculine singular in Hebrew and in Greek, it's inflected. Everything's inflected in it. And he waited still, or seven, Shavuot, seven, Yamim, days, Acharim, after, Vashalach, and he sent forth, or sent out, and now look how he did this. It's down third person masculine singular, pal, PL, wow, consecutive in person. PL stem is what? The PL stem in the verb of Hebrew means with a great force. Okay? So he really shooed her out again. He shooed out, all right, et Hayovna, the dove, and she, velo, and she, and not, is what it actually says, and not, she did not continue, Yosepha, and she did continue to return unto him. All right? In other words, she didn't come back. She stayed out there. She found some place to live. Now, she was tired of being cooped up in that ark. All right? She's cooped up in the ark. Now she's getting out of there. If you've been cooped up in some place for a year, brother, what do you feel like when they turn you loose? And you could find some place to land your feet. Stay there. Don't go back to that other place. All right. By he. Number 13. By he. Be achat. Veshesh. Miot. Shana. Barishon. Be ichad. La cho desh. Cheruva. Hamayim. Miel, Haaretz, Vayasar, Noach, Et, Mikse, Hatava, Vayar, Vihenu, Charivu, Pene, Ha'adamah. All right. You never had any Hebrew before, did you? Hebrew's fun. Vahi. And it became, is what it literally says. And it became. Third person masculine, singular, cow, while consecutive, and perfect. It became, or came to pass, be achat in the one, or in one, vishesh, and 600, miot, miot is 100. Say miot. Miot is 100. All right. Veshish, and 6. All right. And 6, Shana. Shana is what? Years. Remember when you have somebody, you know anybody named Shana? That means years in Hebrew, Shana. All right. Barishon. In the first month, be Echad. In the first day, La Chodesh, to the month, Chadrivu, and dried up. Third person, corporal plural. Cal, perfect. And had dried up Hamayim, the waters. From upon Meal, from upon Haaretz. Can you say Haaretz? Haaretz. That's the earth. Haaretz. How do you say earth? That's the in front of it. Ha is a definite article. Eretz is the earth. Eretz. Haaretz. All right. Vayasar, and removed, took away Noah, et Noah, et Mishseh, the covering. Hativah of the ark. Hativah. All right? Hativah is the ark. Hativah. That's the ark. Vayar and Saul. Vayar. All right? Vayar and Saul, and he saw, and kept on seeing, and behold, Vihenu, and behold, they were dried up. Charivu, they were dried up. The faces. The faces. The earth has faces. Jeff, does she ever get angry? Lori get angry? Can you tell when she's angry? Does she have an angry face?
Does she have a happy face? Oh, well, I won't see happy faces, that's all. Oh, I don't know what happy faces look like. Now, does he have a sad face sometimes? Sometimes, yeah. Well, have you ever stumped your toe? Something flopped on top of your head, you fall down or something, you sure don't smile when that happens. All right? So you have sad faces and you have happy faces and then just everyday faces, all right?
We have expressions. That's pane. Pane.
All right? There was a place called El Pane. What was that? You remember in the Bible there was a place called El Pane. It meant the face of God. El Pane. The face of God. All right? The face of the earth. The earth has faces all around it. Well, the faces of the earth where these people were was dried up. Ha-Adama is the earth. Ha-Adama. The earth. How do you say Adam in the Bible? Man. Adam. How do you say blood? Dam. All of them are related. All right, Dam is the root for blood and for, it is also the root for Adam and the root for the term earth. Ha-Adama, Ha-Adam. All right, all of them is the same. So it's all related. And by the way, when the Lord became mankind, right here in the incarnation, he was related to man and the earth. And so he could redeem all the physical cosmos back to himself. Because John 3:16 doesn't say that God so loved man. It says what? God so loved the cosmos. Get that. That's very important. So many people don't say that. God is going to redeem the whole earth back by his merits of his son. Okay? 8 and verse 14 now. 8 and verse 14. You Ba Chadesh Hashini Vishiva Ve Estrim Yom La Chodesh Ya Bisha. What's that last one? Ha'aretz. Ha'aretz. All right, I wish I had a... Marilyn, can they look at your book? Is that all right? We don't have another one.
Don't close.
So they can see what you're doing. All right. We're at 11 and 14. 11 and 14. If you need me, it's way over there toward the end. Or 8 and 14, that is. And in month. That little U on the front of that, U Va Chodesh. And in month. And in month. Second. Hashine. Second. Vashiva. On the seventh or in seventh. And 20th. The Eshrim. Yom. Day. Va Chodesh. To the month. To the very month, Yavisha, she was entirely dry. She was entirely dry. All right, she had become, is what it literally says, because it's perfect tense. Third person feminine singular, the earth, she had become entirely dry. Third person feminine singular, cow perfect. The earth, Ha'aretz. All right, now the earth had become completely dry now. She's completely dried out. 8 and verse 15. Ba daber. What is the word for word in Hebrew? The word word. What is it?
Davar.
Davar is word. What was Jesus called? He was called several different things. The name of Jesus, the name of God in the Old Testament. He had a personal name, just like mine is James or Jim. And yours, Lori and Jeff, you have a personal name. God's personal name is this. That's it, right there. That's his personal name. Now, how do you say that? We don't know. Watch the Jews receive the law of Moses. And they said, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. They never spoke his name again. Now, we know it from the King James Version as Jehovah. Okay? But they never referred to it as that. One of the things when they referred to, and we find in the Gospel of John, in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation, Jesus or the name of God, or the person of God as the Redeemer and the covenant God of Israel was called what?
Logos.
All right.
All right.
And it's Ha-Dabar, the Word. And what else? And it's also called the name. How do you say the name in Hebrew? Ha-Dabar is the name of the Word. Okay, referred to it. What is the other one? Hashem, the name. All right? We know that. That's who it is. It's always. And what is the other Hebrew term they use when it comes to the name? When a Hebrew rabbi reads the Bible and it comes to the word Jehovah, what does he say?
Adonai.
Adonai. It means Lord. And what is the equivalent of Adonai in Greek? Kyrios. And Jesus was called Kyrios in the New Testament for many times. And he was also called Logos, the Word, which meant that was this is the person. Okay? That's the person of God. All right. Thy Devar in 15. Thy Devar Elohim. El Noach Lamar. All right. And he spoke. See that word spoke? And God spoke to him forcefully. This is a command, PL stem, while consecutive and perfect. And he spoke to him a lot. Elohim. See that word Elohim?
Elohim. You can say that one, can't you? That's the way it's spelled right there. Okay. Elohim.
I don't usually point it for you because when you see these words, young lady, are you beginning to read Hebrew without reading the points now? Yeah. Some of the words you begin to start where you can read it without pointing. The pointing, the vowels tell you how to say the word. That's a modern invention. All the old Hebrew Bibles were not pointed. Pointing didn't come in for many, many, many years. Okay? So we don't know how those words were used back then. Now we have Yiddish, and the Yiddish is what the Hebrews use today, and it's their Hebrew language and everything is very similar to the biblical language, but they have no idea how these words were said. All right? And the biblical Hebrew and the Yiddish pronunciations of the Jewish Bible are different. Alright? Alright. And said and spoke God unto Noah, El Noah, saying, Lamar. Say Lamar. Lamar. Have you ever known anybody named Lamar? Alright. There you go. Now you know maybe this is where it came from. Lamar. Saying. Alright. All right, now, 8 and verse 16. Tizzy. Yeah, have you ever had a tizzy? You know what a tizzy is? Surely you know what a tizzy is when somebody's in a tizzy? In a fit. All right, tizzy. There's your word tizzy right there. And then men. Hativa. Ata. The ishtika. Yuvanika, Yuneshe, Vanika, Yita. All right. Here's a commandment right here. Cal imperfect, impersonal, cal impersonal verb, masculine singular. Go out. Men means what? From, in most cases, from. Ha, tiva, from the ark. Go out from the ark. Now here is his command. This is when Noah gets to leave the ark. The dove got to leave first. Okay. Ata, you. V'ishtaki, v'ishtika. And what does that mean, v'ishtika? Your wife. Ishto. Or, remember the word for woman? Man in Hebrew is what? Ish. Woman is isha, which means out of man. So the root of this is Isha, which is the Ishtika, and your wife, Yuvanika, and your sons, and sons that comes from a Hebrew word, right here. That's it. Ben. If you know somebody by the name of Ben, his name in Hebrew means son. Ben. And son means what? What's the literal mean? What?
According
According to a pattern. When you have a child, if you have children, they usually look like you. All right? Did you look and see the picture? Did you show them a picture of Sippy? All right. Did you see how much she looks like her aunt? My cousin wrote a letter to the state of California. We're trying to get my grandmother's names all straightened out. And he's a member of the Chickasaw Nation. He wrote a letter, and he says that was so surprised when I saw my cousin in California. They look so much like the Paul side of the family. He said they're just real close resemblances. The characteristics, the eyes and the mouths and the shapes of the faces and everything else are so similar for 150 years. For 150 years, the eye, everything, so similar. Made according to a pattern. That's what Ben means. All right? And your sons and your wives and your sons' wives with you. Get caught. 8 and verse 17. Ha cha Yaakov. All right. Asher. Yitekha. Mikol. Basar. Ba'arv. Yuba Bihimah. Yuvikol. Harimes, all Haaretz, Hatsi, Itak, Visha Ritzu, Vaaretz, Yufanu. And I read the other one when I started off, I read backwards. It's cold, Ha Chaya. Ha Chaya cold. I started reading that word from the left to the right instead of from the right to the left. All right. Kol means what? Kol means all or everything. Kol is all or everything in Hebrew, okay? All and every ha-cha-ya. Ha-cha-ya means every living thing. That the root of that is living, okay? And every living thing, every animal, Asher, which, Ichata, with you, Mikol, from all Basar. Basar is flesh. That's this, right here, flesh. Okay? What is it in the Greek? What's the word for flesh in Greek? Sarx. What is the word in Latin? Spanish. Carne. Carne. All right, so there we have those. That means flesh. Okay? All flesh. Beorf, fowl. And yuva behemah. Can you say yuva behemah? That's a big beast, big animal. All right? In, I was looking in some ancient, well, they weren't ancient writings, about 400 or 500 year old writings. They talk about the beast, the behemah. The behemoth. And they talked about that in old English literature, the behemoth, and that came right out of what? Hebrew. All right. You be called, and in all are every harimis, that means creeper. Every creeper. Ha rames, that creeps. El haaretz, upon the earth. Bring out. Masculine singular, hithael, impersonal verb. Itak, with you. All right. And then it says, vi sha ritzu, and let them swarm. Let them swarm. What do you think about when you think about swarm? Have you ever seen a swarm? If you want to see a swarm, look right over there back at that sink. There's a swarm of ants over there. There's a whole bunch of them. Have you ever seen a swarm of flies? Just come out there by those berries. You can see swarms of flies. All right? And a swarm of bees. How many of you have ever seen a swarm of bees or hornets? They're not. That's not something you want to see, is it? What the word here is let them form, it means let them go out. Let them go out and do their own thing. Let them go out and begin their lives anew. Now the animals are going to change. God is going to change these animals. Their lives, what they were when they went on the ark, is not what they're going to be when they leave the ark. Okay? Animals are going to change. Okay? Let them swarm the arets in the earth. Now look at that word there, that letter. See that letter right there? What is that in Hebrew? Aleph and Beit. Beit. All right? Beit means what? In something. The arets. And right here, it's like a V. It's not a V because it doesn't have a dead in it. Okay? So it's va'aretz, in the earth, in the earth, in the earth. I'll get a drink. I think I have transpired, lost more than that water since I've been standing up here sweating. All right. In the earth, and let them be fruitful, eupharu. Let them be fruitful. All right, let them multiply. Third person, corporal, cal plural, cal wow consecutive, perfect. Let them become and be fruitful and multiply. Viravu, multiply, become many, become great. All upon Haaretz, all upon the earth. Let them become great upon the earth. Now they're going to repopulate the earth. The earth is being repopulated by people and animals now. Every animal that lives in the world today came off of that ark. That's where they came from. Except the sea creatures and the fish. That didn't bother them too much, did it? All right. 8 verse 18 By Yitzi, Noah, Yuvanav, V'ishto, Yunishe, Vanar, Ito, all right, and went out, third person masculine singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect his sons, Yuvanav, his sons, and his wife, V'ishto, Yunishu, and the wives of Vanar, his sons, he told with him. So now they all left the ark. They finally got uncooped. You ever been cooped up for a while? Here a while back, I went to the doctor. I had torn a ligament in my right foot. And the doctor told me, he says, you don't want to have surgery on this foot, so you really got to protect it. He said, you got to keep it from going ahead and tearing that ligament too. He said, and it's going to take a long time for that ligament to tear. So he said, I want you to wear boots. Lace-up boots so you can't twist your ankle in you. So I wore lace-up boots for a while, and some of you saw me wearing my lace-up boots. Except for some reason, those lace-up boots were killing my left foot. So I was limping on my right, now I'm limping on both feet. That's why I'm not wearing my lace-up boots. Limping on both sides. Limping on both sides. One thing aggravates another. All right, let's go on to 18 now, or 19 that is. Kol, Hachayah, Kol, Harames, Bikol, Haor, Kol, Rav, Mes, All, Haaretz, La, Mish, He, Ko, He, Hen. Boy, that's a long word. Yat Zivu, Men, Hativah. All right. Now this word families here. That's a beautiful word. I did a study on that for years. We'll get down to that in a minute. And every beast, Hachaya, every living thing, everything with life in it, breath in it. All right? Every living nephesh, soul. All right? Kol, the creepers, Habrimes, and all of the fowl, all the birds, all the...
How do you say that in Lakota? Dakota. What's the word? And what's the word for wing flapper? Wombly.
In Lakota and in Hebrew, it's the same. It's a wing flapper. They flap their wings. Okay? Every wing flapper and every creeper creeping upon Haaretz, the earth, le mishpichotehen. Oh, what a word. That means plural. That word mam on the end of that, him. After their patriarchal families. What's the word in Greek for this? Patria. Patria.
All right, you will write down patria. Patria is the word, this is the equivalent of this word. Patria.
What's the word in Latin?
Paterfamilias.
If you ever watched, what's the name of that movie, that funny movie? What's that funny movie? Where Art Thou, Brother? That guy kept saying, I'm the paterfamilias. That's the word in Latin. That, and of course, now everything in Greek is what language, what part of the English language is it? Everything in Greek is all medical terms. Everything in Latin and English is all legal terms. All right. Mishpatha is what this comes from. Right here, it's le mishpatahem. All right? After the family, mishpatha, or the paterfamilias, according to the father of the family. Who was the father of this family?
Noah.
Noah is the father of this family. All right. So now, who is going to be the father of all of these families? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. This is the whole human race here. And also, it's the fatherhood or the families, the paterfamilias of all of the animal kingdom. Right here, got off this ark. All of the animals on the earth got off of this earth. Or all the animals on that ark got off onto this earth. All right. Thy Yevan. Noah. Mizbeach. La ha. All right. What is that? That's Jehovah. That's the term. We don't know how to say that, but it's la. All right. Tu ha. Yeah. Just say that. Yeah. As far as I know, that's the only way you can say that word. Just say, yeah.
I hear it is.
It starts out with a yod, and then it's all breathing out from then on. Yeah. All right. Now the modern Hebrews, they put this word here. See this vowel right here? That's a wow in biblical Hebrew with vowels. And the later, the modern Yiddish Hebrew, they say Yehovah. 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 But it's literally, if that's the wow or whatever it is, it's kind of an old sound. Alright? In there. So let's say Yehovah. Yehovah. And when you do that, what are you breathing out? All of your breath. And in your breath is life, isn't it? When you intake, what do you intake? When you breathe in, what do you breathe in? Oxygen, which goes into your lungs, which from the oxygen that goes into your lungs, your lungs are a vehicle to the blood. So breathe in. All right? And you're breathing in life. And oxygen. And when you breathe out, what do you exhale? Carbon monoxide. And all of the waste in your body. You're breathing in life and you're breathing out all of the from your body. All of the breath from your body. And so that's what that is. When God spoke. When he speaks, he spoke the world into existence. Now they say, yeah, that's the breath. That's like God is. That's the name of God. The best I can tell you. That Brother Herbert told me, he said, that is the name of God. Just say, yeah, just like that. All right. 20. Did we do 20 yet? By Yavin, Noah, and Noah, and built Noah an altar. Me, Biak, an altar, and built. Now look at that word built there. And built. Yah Yavin. Do you see the word ben in that word? Ben is there, isn't it? He built an altar according to a pattern. What pattern do you think he, how did he build it? Did he know how to build an altar before? I'm sure he had a family altar to offer sacrifices for their sins. And they had worshipped God and offered sacrifices sometime or another. And he built the altar according to a pattern. Noah, what does Noah mean? Peace and safety. All right. An altar. Me, mit, Miz Biak. Miz Biak. An altar. To Jehovah. By Yitzchak, and he took Nicole from all Ha Bihima, all the cattle. Hati Hava Hara, the clean. The clean cattle. All right. You Nicole, and from every fowl, har, ha, ta, hor, every fowl clean, by Ya'al, and offered up, third person masculine, singular hifel, while consecutive in person, because when you're killing all these people and you're offering up, you're doing it for a long time. So he took from all the clean animals and all the clean fowl, and he offered up burnt offerings. Aloh. Ba Mizbeach on the altar. So he offered all these on the altar. Now here we are, they get off the ark. Now how many clean animals, how many pairs of clean animals were there? Seven pairs of clean animals. Now how many unclean animals went on the ark? Just two. Because they weren't going to be offered when they got off the ark. Alright? So he took seven pairs of clean animals and clean birds because they were going to make an offering when they got off. All right. 8:21 now. Da Vai Yaruach. And who is that? That's Jehovah. All right. Adonai. Hadavar. Hashem. All right. Et Ruach. All right. Now look at that word, Vayura. The word smelled and odor and scent. Do you see those two words? It means wind. The word Uruah is in the root of those. That means wind. All right? In Genesis 1 and 2, and it said Spirit God. Ruah Elohim, Spirit God, moved over the faces of the deep, mourned over the faces of the deep. So here we have this word odor and scent. How do you smell? You put wind in your nostrils. You can even smell with your mouth. Do you know that? You can even smell with your mouth. You just go around food and go like that and see if you can taste it and smell it. Have you ever done that, Brother Jeff? Yeah. You smell. But all of it is what? You're bringing in wind, air. Okay? Now, how does scent and odor, how does it travel? In the air, in the wind. Okay? Now, when you're going to slip up on a deer or a bear, you have to get downwind from them because they can smell you. I got an old pig at home named Wilbur. It's a girl, but its name is Wilbur. You've seen Wilbur. All right? Wilbur is almost deaf now. She's old. She's 12 years old. But I'll come out there and I'll stand. And if the wind is blowing toward her from me, she'll go. And she knows I'm there. Especially if I'm carrying a slop bucket. Because the scent, the odor, is going through the air. Okay? And she's smelling that. Now, if you you're a good tracker and if you're a good stalker, you can slip on a deer, up on a deer, and literally touch it. But you've got to do it downwind from the deer. You'll never do it when the wind is going from you to the deer. You've got to go. And the same thing with bear. The Indians used to, they called a brave thing to do was bear slapping. You ever heard of that, Brother David? You ever heard of bear slapping? You ever hear any of those old stories? Grandpa? Kind of. Brother, have you ever heard of bear slapping? Brother John, you ever heard of bear slapping? The Indians, they would slip up on a bear. They slip on, and a bear is always busy doing something, eating. You know, bear and hog are a whole lot alike. They're out there, and they sound almost like in the woods. It's all, you know, like that. If you hear a bear, you hear a hog out there, and they're the same sound all the time. Grunting and going and eating, okay? Well, you can hear them, but you have to get downwind from them. And if you can slip up on that bear, the Indians used to do this. Now, they slip up on the bear, and they take their hand, and they slap him right on the rump, and then take off. That's what you call bear slapping. That was a sport. Now, this is truth, all right? This is the truth. They used to do this. They go up there and slap a bear on the rump and then take off the other direction and hope the bear doesn't follow. Now that's what you just call counting coup on the bear. Okay? The most brave thing an Indian could do was to touch an enemy, a live enemy. And they counted coup on it. All right? They counted coup on it. That's what bear slapping was. You counted coup on the bear and tried to get away. Because you went up there with no weapons. That was another thing. No weapons. Empty-handed. And with your empty hands, you slap the bear on the rump, and you take off. That's what you call bear slapping. Well, now we know what this ruah, this word wind is, and we know that wind carries odor. Okay? And smelled in the air, Jehovah, the odor. A soothing. Ha-ni-cha-ak. All right? And the delight soothing, he said, Vayomer, Jehovah, El Livo, and his heart, the Liv. What is the word for heart in Greek? What's the word for heart in Greek? It's Liv here in Hebrew. What is it in Greek? Or what is your term for heart if you have a heart attack? Cardiac arrest, cardia in Greek. So all of our legal, or all of our legal terms come from Latin, and all of our medical terms come from Greek. Okay. Levov, his heart, not asiv, not I will continue, la kalel, to curse. Look at that. La kalel, to curse. Infinitive construct in the PL stem. He cursed the earth, didn't he? With water. Now, how is he, the next time he destroys the earth, how is he going to destroy it? With fire. Okay. Still, or et ha'adama, the ground. Because of, ba'avur, because of the ha'adama, ha'adam, the mankind. The earth was cursed, all the animals killed because of the human race. That's what happened. Okay? Now, we talked about what might have happened before the flood. If you read the book of Enoch, you'll find out what mankind were doing on there, if the book of Enoch is correct. Okay? What was mankind doing at this time? Now, had God ever given animals for food for mankind at this point? No. But what were some of these sons of Cain doing? And the Nephilim. They were killing and eating animals and drinking this blood. This is a bad part story. This is where it comes from. Not only were they killing and eating animals, but they were killing and eating other humans. That's what we call cannibals. And drinking their blood. the first thing they would do is kill an animal and drink its blood. God says never drink the blood of an animal. If a man killed an animal before the flood, if you killed an animal, Brother Jeff, you know what the sentence was for you killing an animal? Death sentence. Death sentence. If you spilled its blood, was its what? Its life. Alright, when that blood hit the ground, it called out to God, whether it was an animal or a human. When God approached Cain after he killed Abel, he said, "Your blood, Dom, cries out to me from the earth." And he cursed the earth because of its blood, okay, on the earth. Alright, 821b. Yes.
Does it say here at the end of 821 that he will not continue to curse the ground?
Yes, the ground, the earth. All right, he won't curse the earth now. He's not going to curse. How did he curse the earth?
The thorn?
No, not the thorn. The flood.
Oh,
he killed all of human and animal life off the earth with the flood because, evidently, according to what Enoch says, because of their evil acts and deeds. Okay? And so he wiped them out. Alright? And on account of mankind, that's why it happened, and key means because. Because, yetzer, the purpose of, or the shaping, the forming of the heart of mankind, ha-adam, rah. Look at that word, rah. Can you say rah? Ra is evil. Ra is evil. Remember when the old what's the serpent's name? Nahash. The old serpent. He arum. He became evil, didn't he? He became deceitful. Mankind became ra, evil or deceitful. Menu rav. Men knew Rav from his youth, Velo, and not Asiv, I will continue, Ord still, La Hak Kot, to smite, to kill. Et, that's what? Et's what? Et. The Hebrew word et. That's et in Hebrew. That's a sign of the direct object. That means, therefore, the action's coming. What's the Greek word? What's the Greek equivalent?
Ace. Right there, ace.
Ace is the Greek equivalent. The Greek idea of ace is, grammatically, the extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. There's action going that way. And in Hebrew, it carries sometimes that same type of idea. All right? I'm giving you these things cross-reference from the Greek into Hebrew and for Hebrew into Greek, so you'll understand the Septuagint and the Hebrew too, because it's very important. All right? As we have the Hebrew Bible today, it's not near as old as the Septuagint is. Did you know that? Because it was translated from the Septuagint back into Hebrew. But after the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, we have some old Hebrew texts that are just about the same age as the Septuagint text. Alright? Alright, let's go on. Ra, evil. Menah u Rav, and from his youth. And not, I will continue still to smite et kol every living thing. Chaf. Chaf. That's life. Chaf. Now say chaf. Chaf. When you say chaf, what do? You breathe out. It's got the idea of breath in it. Living, breathing thing. Ka'asher. All right, Ka'asher means according to which Asiti, I have done. 8 and verse 22. Are you enjoying this? You getting some things out of it? Ud. Kol. Yemeh. Ha'aretz. Zerah. Kek ka zir, vikar, vi chom, vik hayitz, ba choref,
Vayom. Valaha. Lo. Yish go to. All right. Od is still. Odie. You ever heard of the name of Odie? I guess his name means still. Od, call, still all Yeme days of the earth. Seed and harvest. Ke, ka, sir, and harvest. Vi, ka, sir, and harvest. Vikar and cold. Vikom and heat. Ba, kayit, and summer. Ba, choreth, and winter. Viom and day. Valila. Can you say Lila? Lila is night in Hebrew. Lila. You ever heard of the name Lila? Okay, that's where it comes from. Valila. Valila. Yom and Lila. Lo, not, they shall cease. Yish, butu. Not, they shall cease. All right. Are you about done for today, or you want another one? One more. All right, one more verse. We're in the ninth chapter now. All right, it's going to get better. This is where you're going to hear, you're going to get into a whole bunch of names now. Va, Vi, Yadrek. Elohim, Et, Noah, Viet, Bano, Vayomer, Lahem, Peru, Yuvaru, Yumelu, Het, Haaret. All right. What's the root of this first word? Come on, tell me, you Hebrew scholars. Yuvarek. What is the root of that word? Third person, masculine, singular, PL, wow, consecutive, imperfect. Barak. Barak is the root of that word, Barak. And blessed intensely, Elohim, God, Et, sign of the direct object, Noah, the Et, and his sons, Vayomer, and he said, Lahem, to them, say Lahem. Lahem means to them. Lahem, to them. All right. Peru. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Masculine plural. Kal, imperfect. Impersonal verb, that is. And multiply. Yurevu. And multiply. All right. And fill. Yumilu. And fill up the earth. Now, from these animals and from these children, all of the earth is going to be populated. We're in the ninth chapter. From these people, all of the earth is going to be populated from these animals. This is what we have, the root of all animal life and mankind right here. We all go back to this, okay? All right, well, thank you for your attention tonight. Go out and do something eternal. And I want you to leave this thought with you. We have Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem is a spiritual boy. Through Shem, all of mankind was supposed to be led by the Spirit. They are the leaders. Okay? And then Ham. Ham is a physical person. Every invention that's ever been invented, almost, except for the windmill. And the Arab did that. Which is a son of Shem. Okay? All Arabs and all Jews are Shemites. Okay? And then we have Ham. All of the sons of Ham invented all of the greatest civilizations ever known to man were brought about, instigated, brought to be by Ham's descendants. What are they? Where were they? Babylon. Babylon, Nimrod, okay? Egyptian, all sons of Ham. Mayan, Aztec in America. China, all sons of Ham.
The oldest civilization known to man is the Chinese and their sons of the Han. The greatest doctors, the greatest pharmacists, the greatest medicine in the world at that time were from the Hamite races. The Shemites didn't care anything about nothing. The greatest metal workers, the metallurgists, all the metal work and everything was done by the Hamites. All the blacksmiths. And who were the ones that sharpened who built swords for Jews during those days? Who was the ones that had who were the metal workers in the Bible? Who were they? The Hittites. They were the metal workers. Who were the great hunters? The Hamites. All of this. Now how about the Japhethites? What were the Japhethites? Those are the intellectuals. That's the Greek philosophy and everything. Those are the philosophers. Okay? The thinkers. All right? We're going to study about these things. Now, what had happened? Shem, all the descendants of... Now, the descendants of Shem today are who? The descendants of Shem today are who? The Arabs and the Jews. Okay? Now, according to an Arab and according to a Jew, what does their life... How is their life's ordered? By their religion. Isn't it? Good or bad, they're focused on religion. They eat, drink, live, procreate, all by religion. That's the focus of their whole life. They will die or live with a religion. That's why an Arab, a Muslim, will go out and put bomb all over his body, all kinds of explosives, and pull a, without ever thinking about it too much. Because he's the spiritual person. Wrong or right. Okay? That's what he lives for and breathes for, his spirit. And the Jews, they're in the land of Palestine, and they will die to the last person to defend that land, because who gave it to them? God gave it to them, because they believe in God. All right? The Hamites. The Hamites, where do you get your cheapest commodities today? When you go to the market. When you go to what? China. Vietnam. Taiwan. What are these? These are the Hamites. Where is the greatest developments that have ever been made? All the greatest inventions were from the Hamites. The Japhethites developed and fine-tuned them, but they didn't invent anything. They didn't make any invention. The Japhethites. All right? Now, as you see, and we're going to study about this a little bit more, but as you study history, there are several, and you can read a little bit about this in your handouts that I gave you, okay? Before I turn you loose, I just want to read this to you. And by the way, the three Gospels, the Synoptics, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, to the descendants of those, all right? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. This is what one. Now, basically, all anthropologists will tell you the same thing. This is just one anthropologist writing here. All right. See if I got to make sure I get the right paper. This is the right one. The Japhethites are the Indo-Europeans, okay? They're the Indo-Europeans, what we call originally India. Where did Hitler trace his lineage from? He said they were the masters of the Aryan race. And where did the Aryans come from? India. All right, originally from India. And we call those Indo-Europeans. Indo-Europeans are the Japhethites. Okay, he said he was a pure Japhethite. And they were the master race. Okay? From Japheth derived the Indo-Europeans and the Medes. The early Aryans knew Japheth as the Dispachita, chief of the race. The Greeks referred to him as Iapetos. Remember Pinocchio? Geppetto? That is a Greek term for the father of the race. Geppetto. Okay? Did you know that? All right. And Geppetto. East Indians called him Yapiti and Prajapiti. The Romans deified him by the name of Jupiter. All right, Japheth, Jupiter. You're learning something? The Saxons pronounced his name Sheaf or Shaf and recorded in their early genealogies as the sons of Noah, the forebearer of the various people, Anglo-Saxon chronicles. The variant Sheshef was used by the early Scandinavians, and all of these peoples, we must remember, were all pagans whose knowledge and even awareness of the book of Genesis was non-existent. They had never heard of the book of Genesis. Who wrote the book of Genesis? Moses, many years later, after dispersion. The Japhetic tribes, being furthest from the theocratic center, were last in attaining the historic eminence or enlarging with much greater minuteness and detail. The Hamitic and Arabian nations were the soonest developed, with which the Hebrews came most into contact with initial stages of their journey. History has recorded Japheth's geological enlargement. The entire western hemisphere of our globe is settled by Japhetic people. The East Indians are the same stock. The record of Japheth's spread enlargement over the earth has been marred consistently by his destruction of the cultures which already existed. Every place that the Japhethites went, they destroyed the culture that was there and claimed it to be their own. India, Africa, Australia, North and South America. Just think about that. In existence, wherever they arrived in sufficient force to achieve dominion, it happened in the Americas, Africa, Asia, China. You know the city of Hong Kong? That's a colony. Okay? Asia, Australia, and only numerical superiority of the native population hitherto preserved the parts of Africa from the same fate. Indeed, in early historic times, the pattern of events is repeated again and again. Wherever cultural advances the pioneer Hamites had achieved tended to be swallowed up by the succeeding Japhethites, and the enlargement of Japheth has continued to this day, an enlargement greatly accelerated geographically in the last few centuries, frequently at the expense of the Hamites who first possessed the lands. Think about that. In South America, they had postal systems. They had concrete roads and highways. The Eskimos had telephones, and the igloo was an absolute tremendous invention. That'll just give you something to think about until we get to it next week. All right? Is that good? You like that? Like these little bitty tidbits of history? You can't, as you study anthropology, you can't deny the historical facts. They're just there. Brother John, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Thank you, Father, for your word.